The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountain and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians, chapters 11 and 12. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. Now I am talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my own weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So, to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to see Jesus, he said in a parable these words. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked, by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text today is Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. The title of the sermon is "The Word Grows the Church." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, yesterday's balmy weather reminded me of my first attempts at gardening as a child. In my first attempt, I saved some apple seeds from an apple at lunch and planted them one by one in different places in the backyard garden. Then there were a couple of uncooked beans that I planted together in one spot, like the story Jack and the Beanstalk. And another time, I think I also tried a potato and a carrot. Well, all these attempts at growing plants never bloomed or came to fruition. It was only years later that I realized that the native soil in that backyard, in the flat areas of the Santa Clara Valley, was an alluvial clay, which when dried was as hard as rock. The clay lacked humus or any nutritional material for plants. Today, when starting plants, I always use planting soil, even if the native soil is good, and I prefer to start the seed in flats or containers. The vital importance of soil for the growth and maturity of plants is the subject of our gospel lesson this morning. It is one of Jesus' most famous parables, known as the parable of the sower, because of the main character that's in it. But I prefer to call it the parable of the four soils, because that is closer to the main point that Jesus wants us to learn from it. The first thing we notice about this gospel is that a great crowd of people assembled to hear it, as seen in verse 4. After Jesus had told the parable, he then met privately with the 12 and the other disciples. In this private meeting, he gave the explanation to the parable that we read in verses 10 to 15. Jesus intentionally told the 12 these secrets, as verse 10 notes, so that the people would have to go to the 12 apostles to learn the secrets of the kingdom. In this way, he was preparing the 12 to be teachers of the church, a role that they would continue after his death. In the parable, the sower did not use flats or containers, but simply spread his seed out in the broadcast method. As he threw the seed out right to the edge of his plot of land, some fell on the adjoining path, hardened by years of use. The seed here was consumed by a flock of birds. Here in San Mateo, it would have been consumed by the ever-present ravens. Other seed fell among thorns. Thorns, and the plant that produced it, was the native weed for that semi-arid climate, as it is still today. Some seed fell among the rocks. If you've ever seen pictures of rural Israel, away from the cities, rocks are everywhere, not unlike rural New England. Finally, the seed fell on good soil. Luke's account of the parable says it produced 100-fold. Mark and Matthew state 30-fold, 60-fold, and in some places 100-fold. Whatever the result, the result was that the sower had a good crop with a net gain of seed, even though much of the seed went to waste. So what does this parable mean? Fortunately, we have Jesus' own parable explanation here, unlike some other parables whose explanations were never given. The key to this parable is in verse 11, which states, "The seed is the word of God." The parable is about the spreading of God's word, as it is found in the Bible, primarily by preaching and teaching, but also by hearing the lessons read on Sunday, by receiving the sacraments in which the word is encased and sealed, by receiving the word of absolution, by personal evangelism, by which you spread out the word, by family devotions, or by simply reading the scripture on your own. Wherever God's word is heard and understood, the seed is at work, trying to sprout and grow. What is the law application of this text? We find the law in the first three cases, where those who reject or neglect the Word of God are condemned by the loss of their faith and their loss of eternal life. In the first case, that is the seed on the path eaten by birds, Jesus says, "The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved." Verse 12. Notice in verse 12, in this first case, the people heard the word, and that means they understood what it said. But they could not, or they would not, believe it. This immediate loss of the word from people's hearts happens for any number of reasons. Many times it is because their heart is so focused on themselves that there's no place for God in their heart, and usually no place for anybody else either. Other times it is because the world has planted into their minds ideas which contradict the scriptures. This is what happened in Athens when the people rejected the preaching of Paul because they could not believe the doctrine of the bodily resurrection, Acts 17. Most of the time, the word is rejected because the desire to sin is too strong, and people refuse to let go of that sin by repenting. In all these cases, the diagnosis is hardness of heart. In the second case, which is the seed on the rock, a person hears and understands the word of God, and they believe. They become members of a Christian church by baptism and confirmation. They continue in the fellowship of believers, receiving communion and enjoying the God-given blessings that he provides through his church. But then hard days come, which they did not expect. They thought that as God's child, they would be insulated, that they would suffer neither poverty nor economic setbacks, nor major illness, nor the effects of a major plague like COVID-19, nor major family problems. Some Christians even suffer persecution for their faith. These are all times of testing, as verse 13 states, and some fall away, often never to return to the faith. The seed on the rock is a warning to all of you. The third case is equally sad because so common. The seed among thorns are also persons who hear and understand the word of God, and they believe. They become members of a Christian church and continue in the fellowship of the church. But as verse 14 states, the cares and riches and pleasures of life choke out their faith, and their faith does not mature. In my experience, this is the most common reason why the Word of God bears no fruit in our American society. It usually starts in the post-high school years when young people are free from their parents' influence. They get out of the habit of joining together with fellow believers on a weekly basis. Saturday nights are devoted to partying or nightlife, and Sunday morning comes way too quickly. And then, later, life with a career and family becomes too busy. And because they are too busy during the week, they think they need every single minute on the weekend to relax. And the church and the Word of God are not rejected outright. It just becomes the lowest priority in their life. Before they realize it, their faith has been choked out, and they no longer believe. The seed and the thorns is a warning to all of you, not just to young people. What is the gospel application of our text? These are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. So God's word does have a lasting effect on some people. It is heard, understood, and takes root in their hearts. It produces lots of fruit: faith, hope, and charity, with good works in their vocation, with service to their neighbor. The person with the word of God held fast in their heart returns to church weekly to be fed and renewed in their faith in that word. And for some, it produces 30-fold, others 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Why do some retain the word of God while others do not? Now, this is a mystery we cannot explain, except that those who do retain it do so only through the power of the Holy Spirit that is in the word itself. But notice that the key is that some hold fast to the word of God. The word becomes part of their life. They think about it. They let it sink into their heart and affect their attitudes and their outlook. And at least weekly, through attending church services when that is available to them. Therefore, insofar as it depends on you, Jesus urges you in this parable to hold fast to his word by always hearing the scriptures and taking those messages to heart. May our Lord grant you his grace and Holy Spirit, so that his word proves fruitful in your life with faith and hope and charity, until that hope is fulfilled in heavenly glory. In Jesus' name, amen.